Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
We just kind of knew from the beginning that we were family.
They showcased a sense of love that I never had before. I mean, he's not only my parent, like he's like my best friend.
At the end of the day, it's all been worth it. I wouldn't change a thing about our lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. This is Peter, and you're listening to the New and Newer Music Show. We just heard some new music. That was the newest from Raya Tropical. That was Cartagena. Before that, Our Girl with Relief. And we started off the set with Metz with Entwined Streetlight Buzz. And Metz is awesome. They're always putting out loud guitar-centered music. So this is Gaglum.
Stay.
So that was the newest from Pax. That was Say My Name. Before that, a really sweet song from Julie Byrne. That was Sleepwalker. I like that track. Before that, Star Effer with Always / Never. And we start off the set with G Glum with Splat. And I like that too. That was cool. Hey, we got some great shows here on WRCT that you should check out. Tune in to Forbes Avenue, WRCT's newest public affairs program. Here, engaging guests talk about the arts, social issues, and intriguing topics with a focus on Pittsburgh, and meet some fascinating people along the way. That's Forbes Avenue, Tuesdays at 8:30 a.m. right here on 88.3 FM, WRCT Pittsburgh. And another cool show we have on here is Yard Sale. Are you having trouble remembering your dreams? Tune in to Yard Sale on Sundays at 1 p.m. for a dreamy mix of new age, folk, and dream pop, and maybe something will click. Only on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. And I was listening to that show today. What do we got next? This is the newest from Will Schiff. He's in Okkervil River, and this is In the Thick of It.
Not a thought in their heads. end. After 6 months it had healed. They cut off my cast and the path was revealed. It's a dance you do in the thick of it. It's a dance you do in the thick of it. Duck call curtain, we're doing it all the way.
All right, everyone. That actually wraps up our show. That was the Pillow Queens with Suffer. Before that, Granddaddy with Water Cooler. And In the Think of It with Will Sheff. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show. I will not be back next week, actually. I'm going to go to the St. Vincent show. So I think I'll just play this broadcast again, unless I can get somebody to volunteer and fill in for me. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week. And yeah, stick around for Courts in Session with Eric. And he'll be playing some Southern rock for you and other types of rock music. Yeah, everybody, have a great week. Bye.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
You know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
Yeah, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, anything, you need to tell an adult, someone you know and trust. That can be hard, but speaking up about a problem is what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Good evening. You're listening to Garage Radio. My name's Joe. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a great night and, well, an even better start to your week. I've got a lot of great music lined up for you tonight, so make sure you stick around. I have some Surf Curse on the way. But up first, I wanted to pay homage to a very important musical figure, Mr. Sly Stone. Yeah, Sly and the Family Stone passed away last week. And, well, I've always been a fan of his music, of R&B and funk, and I figured we'd start tonight off with, well, a title track of theirs, The Family Affair. Here's to you, Sly.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good to mom. Thicker than the mud, it's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
What a bear. What a bear. Still checking each other out. Hey, nobody wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. Uh-huh. You can't leave cause your heart is there. But you can't stay cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry cause you look broke down, but you're crying anyway, cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair. Oh, yeah, family affair.
Affair.
Surf Curse there with their song Forever Dumb. You're listening to Garage Radio. My name's Joe. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a great start to your night. Hey, I've got some Kazaban to come, so make sure you stick around for that. Real interesting kind of 2000s Britpop band with a heavy, heavy tone. Also have a classic track from Paul Revere and the Raiders. I thought they moved to Vegas, but they're up on the way. But up next, this is a group called Mint Royal with their song Blue. Keep it tuned in here. Garage Radio.
Is this the place?
Yep, this is the place.
How long?
2-3 minutes max.
Could you be a bit more specific?
2.5 to 3 minutes. Call it 2:45. 2:45?
No, more. 2:54.
Okay, 2:54.
Then you got a watch?
I don't read too good. Okay, you got 2:54 from now. More like 3 minutes.
Girl, you thought you found the answer on that magic carpet ride last night. But when you wake up in the morning, the world still keeps you uptight. Well, there's nothing better you ain't tried to fill the emptiness inside. When you come back down, girl, still ain't feeling right. Don't it seem like
kids just keep getting harder to find? And all your kids ain't bringing you peace of mind. Before you find out it's too late, girl, you better get straight.
No, but not with kicks. You just need help, girl. Yourself a little piece of paradise.
to help you face the world each day. That road goes nowhere. I'm gonna help you find yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That was the group Kazaban with their song Vlad the Impaler. You're listening to Garage Radio. My name's Joe. Hope you've been enjoying what we've been playing tonight. And, well, we've got plenty more songs to come right after these brief messages. So make sure you stick around. Garage Radio.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Edwards' notion of oppositional intellectual is something that both he and Chomsky share. That is, the oppositional intellectual is guided by and actually it is required to address people, not power. To enable people to resist power, to arm people with ideas and understandings, to be able to engage in creative forms of resistance. To me, that's the oppositional intellectual.
That's Nubar Hovsepian, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian. This edition of AR features Nubar Hovsepian on Edward Said, an oppositional intellectual. From on high, establishment intellectuals replicate dominant societal narratives, power structures, and established norms. And, as long as they perform that task, they are honored, celebrated, and invited to all the talk shows and dinner parties of the rich and powerful. And get to play golf with them. And they are, of course, well rewarded financially. In sharp contrast are intellectuals who go against the grain, who rock the boat, who challenge the existing order, who contest the hegemonic discourse, who speak the truth and expose the lies and deceptions of officialdom. An oppositional intellectual not only questions mainstream ideologies and received wisdom, but offers alternatives. Edward Said was one of the 20th century's most influential intellectuals. He exemplified the oppositional intellectual who made the comfortable uncomfortable. And to talk about Edward Said is his close friend and confidant, Nubar Hovsepian. Nubar Hovsepian is Associate Professor Emeritus of Political Science at Chapman University in Orange, California. He edited and contributed to The War on Lebanon, and he's the author of the book, Edward Said, The Politics of an Oppositional Intellectual. I talked with Nubar Hovsepian in late May 2025. Welcome to the program, Nubar.
My pleasure, David. Good to see you, my friend.
Congratulations on your book, Edward Said, The Politics of an Oppositional Intellectual. You write in the preface that your book is guided by a simple inquiry. How does Edward Said's humanism inform his politics?
That's precisely the formula I followed. I did not want to write something that others are more capable of producing. There are others who dealt with his literary criticism, with his music and all that. But I was interested in explaining Said as a political person, right? He was not your average person who goes down on the street and demonstrates, but he was a person who involved himself in politics. And I wanted to see, is there a connection between his oeuvre, you know, Orientalism, culture and imperialism, etc., his literary articles in Raritan, etc., and his politics. And I felt that the humanism, which he describes in his book, Democratic Humanism, is what guides his understanding of not only Palestine, but what to do about Palestine.
You say Edward always insisted on the virtues of democratic humanism. What is that exactly?
Well, for Edward, you know, number one, he very much was hated being pigeonholed. He didn't, you know, he was criticized by people for not being a Marxist or not being a good Marxist or a bad Marxist. He didn't fit any mold. His mold was a democratic humanism that insists on the ability to see the other and to recognize that this form of humanism, it brings together a shared space to be able to create a better future. Right? So his democratic humanism has a theoretical, obviously, a philosophical underpinnings, but also a practical one, right? Because his democratic humanism insists on the politics of inclusion and not exclusion.
Inclusion without domination. That's a key theme there.
And that's precisely the critique he marshals of in his book on the question of Palestine, in his second chapter, you know, Zionism from the standpoint of its victims. Okay? He says, you exclude me. The point is to be included, all of us, right? We don't want to eliminate anybody, but we want to be, we insist on being included because otherwise there is no solution.
You say that his literary career and politics feed into each other. Talk about that.
When you look at his early work, right? I mean, his early work was on the world dealing with beginnings, right? That's the title of his book. It's a brilliant book, but it doesn't show his politics as in a more pronounced fashion, but it's there. He's affected by Palestine from day one. It is muted in the early days, becomes more pronounced because he's living in America with the 67 war. Right. So in that sense, his humanism, his understanding that guides his work through Orientalism and the culture of imperialism, the world, the text and the critic, these are just some of the titles, help him understand that what is needed here is to look at people, the rights of people, right? He's looking at people, the oppressed, those who are subjugated to colonial domination and who need to be freed. All of this, his humanism incorporates many things, including ideas coming from Fanon and from Cabral, from, and then his most immediate mentor being Iqbal Ahmad.
The role of an oppositional intellectual, or the responsibility of intellectuals, to use the Chomsky term, here he's influenced by Gramsci. They should not be intellectuals, experts in legitimation, and resist the lures of power. They should speak the truth, expose lies, hypocrisy, and deceptions.
Edwards' view of the intellectual is kind of two levels. One, he articulates that view in his essays that were literally written for a radio broadcast, for the Reith lectures in London, right? His essays on the intellectuals. They're useful, but I find something else. The notion of oppositional intellectual is something that both he and Chomsky share. That is, the oppositional intellectual is guided by and actually is required to address people, not power. To enable people to resist power, to arm people with ideas and understandings, to be able to engage in creative forms of resistance. To me, that's the oppositional intellectual. Now, remember, David, in my book, I juxtapose that with the embedded intellectual, or you know, the servants of power, and those who sit on the fence. Those who serve power, they could come in all shapes, colors, and forms. The ones I identify who serve power very well, Bernard Lewis, Sam Huntington, and of course, Fuad Ajami and Kanaan Makiya. And former lefties like Christopher Hitchens, who joins the fray and becomes a neocon towards the end of his life. That's one form of intellectual who serves the interests of power. Another, Walter, which I find the most problematic, at least the others are clear where they stand. Walter theorizes that Camus, sitting on the fence in Algeria, is his model. Now, years later, Camus' Arabs, who are not part of his story in The Stranger, are written about by an Algerian writer who reimagines that and brings the Arab voice to the ground. So in other words, the muting the other is a conscious and deliberate act of obfuscation, which the Walters of the world engage in. So together, these intellectuals serve power or kind of justify it or rationalize it. The oppositional intellectual is one who resists the lures of power, who insists that speaking the truth is addressed to people so that they can oppose those in power. That, in a nutshell, is, I think, Edwards' view and practice. And on that, he and Chomsky literally are in agreement.
And if I could just add that Edward always challenged the hegemonic discourse on not just on Israel-Palestine, but on issues.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now that